Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week. Amid growing regulatory concerns about cryptocurrencies and increased monitoring of that space by the SEC and CFTC, we took the opportunity to glean some insight from Eric Sohn, a financial crime specialist and director of business product at Dow Jones Risk and Compliance. We discussed financial crime in initial coin offerings and virtual currencies, as well as the looming risk of money laundering that both bring to the table. We asked Sohn to offer his observations on the frenzy that surrounds initial coin offerings and cryptocurrencies.
Well, I think that anything new and shiny, it tends to get a certain level of frenzy behind it. We all remember pets.com during the first internet bubble. But at a base understanding, a virtual currency is a currency. It's some way that you can exchange a currency for stuff. For example, you were able to at certain places buy pizza with Bitcoin at one point, or pay for your WordPress subscription with Bitcoin. And what's nice about it is that it's borderless. You can buy this anywhere. And in fact, a lot of these currencies offer a certain amount of anonymity, which appeals to a certain part of the populace. Now, ICOs in particular is a way that companies raise funds without the overhead and the regulation of an IPO. And that's kind of the shorthand for it. There's a little more to it that differentiates the two. But that's a kind of an easy way of doing it. So it's a way of investing in a company through purchasing of their virtual currency.
Is this marketplace exuberance likely to mask investor issues and fraud?
Oh my, certainly there is. And in fact, you can see that reflected in the regulatory responses. So for example, in the United States, FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which is part of the Treasury, they have labeled ICOs as money transmitters because you're exchanging one kind of value for another kind of value, which means that they're subject to anti-money laundering requirements. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, they consider virtual currencies to be a commodity, and therefore they regulate there are now contracts for Bitcoin futures available on the Chicago Merc and on the CBOE Futures Exchange, as well as there are binary options on the Cantor Exchange. So the CFTC regulates those. And additionally, the SEC has a very extensive set of information about virtual currencies, and they, in particular, they're focused on more than anything else, they're focused on fraud. And certainly, in fact, they have made a series of enforcement actions in the last 4 or 5 months against fraudulent ICOs. You know, ICOs, one big difference between ICOs and IPOs is that IPOs generally are companies that are doing stuff. They're selling product, they're selling services, where a lot of these ICOs, you're buying into their currency in order to fund the development of their business model. So there's a lot less known about a company that's floating an ICO, and that's why the SEC, issues, its guidance about being careful about what you see. You know, we even see cases where celebrities are hawking these things. I heard an ad yesterday about how you should, use your retirement money. You can invest your retirement money, your 401k money, in ICOs, or take a home equity loan in order to invest in Bitcoin. And that's pretty scary given how relatively threadbare most ICOs are.
How can an investor separate fraudulent offerings from legitimate ones? Are there red flags to look for, or perhaps even positive things that can be uncovered with some research through white papers, perhaps?
For an awful large percentage of ICOs are, in fact, developments of something that doesn't exist, that there's no other surrounding background or history with. And so that's now, that might be fraud, but it also just might be an idea that doesn't come to fruition. You know, Pets.com wasn't a fraud, but it was just a bad business model. And so, you know, you're investing at the point where they're thinking, they're developing the solution, and you have to think about, is there really a problem that needs to be solved? You know, I think we all know the fact that Hooters, their stock went up because they mentioned that they were thinking of doing a blockchain solution, which is, you know, blockchain is the underlying technology behind a lot of virtual currencies. And similarly, the Long Island Iced Tea Company, they changed their name to Long Island Blockchain Company, and their stock went up. And in fact, the SEC has issued warnings about, you know, being careful of people that are basically tying their wagon to blockchain in order to pump up their common stock price. But one thing you can look for, again, is ongoing operations. So, for example, and I'm not, of course, endorsing this company, but there is a company called Bank for You that offers mobile money transfers, basically be able to send money between people, usually via your cell phone. And so they're floating an ICO to expand their footprint. And so they offer services that are similar to what, say, Safaricom does in Kenya. So they already have a business that's thriving. They have their own credit cards, and they have some of the, so they're obviously much less likely to be fraudulent. Will they be successful? I don't know. That's not the story. So you're rolling your dice regardless, but certainly that company is much less likely to be a fraud. And so that's always a good thing. You know, you should always also look at the promises that these people make on the websites that offer the ICOs. There was one, Plexcoin, back in December 2017, was stopped by the SEC because they promised a 1,354% profit in 29 days. And they found that the co-founder was a repeat violator of Canadian securities law. So when it sounds too good to be true, it generally is. And the other thing you should also be aware of, too, is that most of these coins or tokens, because sometimes you'll see ITO, initial token offering, most of them are considered to be securities and therefore need to register with the SEC, and to date, none have. So, for example, there was in December, again, another company called Munchie, which does online restaurant reviews. They had an ICO, and the SEC stopped them because they didn't register. And so, you know, there's a certain level of due diligence you can do with these things to make sure that even if they're legitimate, whether or not they're legal. You know, they can not be fraudulent, but they can, in theory, not be complying with United States law.
We asked Zone to rate the efforts of regulators, especially as they try to rein in these products without discouraging innovation.
I think that they're doing as well as can be expected. You know, one of the real problems is that, you know, what does it take to create an ICO, a smart tech guy and a website, and poof, you're there. And the other problem, of course, is that when you create a virtual currency, while you can trace the money going into that virtual currency and coming out, and in fact, that's something that FinCEN did, which is it considers all currency exchanges to be money services businesses and therefore subject to anti-money laundering requirements. Within that network, you really can't tell. And so one of the concerns, which really hasn't made its way to regulatory guidance quite yet, is that ICOs are a really good money laundering vehicle. They're similar to what we call a transit account, which is you open up an ICO, and you get your people that are, say, collecting your drug money in all across the United States to buy those coins, and then you abscond with that money, and you look just like any other failed business. And then you can open a new one in another country. A lot of these, you know, a lot of countries haven't even started doing any kind of regulation regarding virtual currencies and ICO. The U.S. is very much the exception. You know, there are a handful of countries, but by and, you know, there are places that haven't touched it, and there are places that are welcoming ICOs. The Isle of Man in particular says, come here and launch your ICO so we can basically get your business registration fees. You know, and if you hit it, and if you hit it big, great. But I think the U.S. regulators have found actually a good middle ground, you know, between allowing innovation and permitting crime within the scope of what they can do. And I think one of the problems we have to get to is there needs to be international standards that we can hold countries accountable for. You know, there is the Financial Action Task Force or FATF, which has a series of standards that it actually evaluates every country on a rolling basis, and every few years you get a report that based on their review of your regulatory schemes and your enforcement, saying how good you're doing and pointing out where you're failing. But one area that they haven't done yet, they've issued some guidance, but they haven't incorporated into their standards virtual currencies. And I think that is the next place where, because once you have the standards, then you can name and shame the countries that are not meeting those standards. And I think that's the big thing that has to happen internationally, because otherwise it's like squeezing on a balloon, right? You know, the U.S. restricts it, China restricts it, they go off to, I don't know, Albania. They go off to some other country where the standards don't exist or are more lax. And so having a mechanism for creating and, for lack of a better word, enforcing standards will help greatly. But at least the United States will not be the venue for a lot of this crime, despite it being the world's, you know, most stable value and the most, you know, largest economy. So we're at least in good shape for now. But if you really want to stamp out the financial crime, you got to have these international standards.
That's all the time we have for today. We've been talking to Eric Sohn, a financial crime specialist with Dow Jones Risk and Compliance. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week. Thank you for listening.